will do the logic of its own. This text will look at.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Only on their account. Such pure devotees are able to rectify the polluted atmosphere of any place, and what to speak of a holy place rendered unholy by the questionable actions of interested persons who try to adopt a professional life at the cost of the reputation of the holy place. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you can turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Sri Chaitanya Manogistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamayam Dadanti Svabhutantikam By Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakti Nanda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Om Amkam Shrom Om Param Tathagata Vikikesha Vitala Parigalochana Vidarakanaka Svasa Vasimha Namaste. This very famous verse of Srimad Bhagavatam glorifies the devotees by whose presence any place can be turned into a holy place or a place of pilgrimage. In his purport, Śrīla Prabhupāda stresses the importance of holy places or pilgrimage sites. He says that they've actually existed since time immemorial. And holy places, pilgrimage sites, are actually meant to purify the hearts of conditioned souls. And interestingly enough, Śrīla Prabhupāda mentions that they exist all over the world. I guess that would refer to different religions, as well as different sacred spots. They exist all over the world. But in another purport, Śrīla Prabhupāda specifically mentions the holy places like Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, Haridwar. In such places, the atmosphere is surcharged transcendentally. And why is that? Why do the holy places, why are they so much different than the ordinary places? Because they are the places of the Lord's pastimes within the material creation. Technically, that is called Yogapit. Yogapit means the actual spot where the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests his appearance or his pastimes in the earthly realm. When Krishna comes from the spiritual world, he brings the spiritual world with him, and it overrides the material world. Just like recently I was changing the software from one computer to another computer. I don't know if you know anything about computers, but there's a system called Laplink, where you can transfer the information from one computer into another computer. So what happens is that the computer that you're transferring information from, it goes into that computer and completely overrides all the other information that's in there. Whatever information is in there, you've got a DOS program. You take one computer's information, you put it there, it overrides all your other programs. They have no effect anymore. You just transfer the information from one, and Laplink just covers everything else that was ever there before. So in the same way, when the Lord comes into this material world with his transcendental associates, his servants, his abode, everything follows like a king. When a king travels, he takes his wife, he takes his family, he takes his servants, he takes his soldier, he takes all his paraphernalia with him. Everything comes. So similarly, when the Lord comes in the spiritual world, he brings the whole spiritual world with him. And that place where those pastimes are manifest, that spiritual world overrides the material energy, deletes the effects of the material energy, and the spiritual world itself is actually manifest. And this was one of Lord Chaitanya's principal statements, that Vrindavan is actually non-different than Krishna himself. Chaitanya emphasized many points, but this is one of his specific points, that the Vrindavan that we find in India is not different than the Vrindavan in the spiritual world. It's actually not different. Vrindavan is not different than Krishna himself. And thus Rupa Goswami writes that living in such a holy place is one of the five principal items of devotional service. Chanting the holy name, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, associating with devotees, and living in a holy place wherein the atmosphere is surcharged transcendentally are the five most important items of devotional service. Active devotion describes 64 items of devotional service. And out of those, five are particularly important, which we concentrate on. Prabhupada actually established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and the foundation of that movement is these five activities. Chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, associating with devotees, living in a holy place which is surcharged with a transcendental atmosphere. So, why is that? Because of the Lord's presence. And those who have the proper vision, they can see the Lord's pastimes even today. When they go to Vrindavan or they go to Mayapur, a pure devotee, he can see the Lord's pastimes manifest even today, because these places are eternal. That is the nature of the spiritual atmosphere. It is eternal, it is full of knowledge and bliss. It's not that Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago and then he left to the spiritual sky. But actually, he never leaves Vrindavan. And the constitutional nature of that spiritual atmosphere is that it is eternal. But unfortunately, when we go, because we're not yet situated in that elevated platform of devotional service, we cannot see the Lord. We've told the story before that Srila Prabhupada was sitting with his disciples in Vrindavan, and he was describing the beauty of Vrindavan, that there's different types of cuckoos there, and they're singing five different types of tunes, and there's peacocks, and there's Govardhan Hill, and there's the river Jamuna, and there's Bamsi Bad, and Keshi Ghat, and Krishna's doing this, and the gopis are doing that, etc. And he was just speaking for a long time in Vrindavan, just looking around and describing how he saw Vrindavan. So then afterwards, after this beautiful, eloquent, transcendental description of Vrindavan, one devotee was like, as Prabhupada was speaking, he was just like, you know, Jamuna River, Govardhan Hill, Bamsi Bad, Krishna, and the Kala boys, devotional service, more unconditional devotion. He was looking around. One devotee was following Prabhupada's movements. So then afterwards, Prabhupada said, "Any questions?" So the devotee raised his hand and he said, "Prabhupada, you were described very beautifully Vrindavan. When you pointed there, I just saw dust. When you pointed there, I saw pigs. When you pointed over there, I saw rickshaw walls. And there are these Lloyd Bazaar and look at this. I don't see what you're describing." Prabhupada said, "Yes, it's there." He said, "But there's a speck in your eye. And because of that speck, you can't see." So the devotee, I said, "No, no, that speck is material desire. When that material desire is removed from your mind's eye, then you can see Vrindavan as it is." So that's how you see, but you can't go, you can't see Vrindavan like this. Actually, at our stage of devotional service, we want to see the true nature of the transcendental devotee. We have to see through the eyes of those who can. That's called tattva darshana. Darshana actually means to see. Tattva means the truth. So the famous verse from Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidi Paripashina, Paripashina Sevaya, Upadekshandite, Ganyas Tattva Tarshana. It encourages to take shelter of those saintly persons who have Tattva Darshana, who have Darshana with the truth, who can actually see through their spiritual vision. Therefore, it's stressed in this third word by Srila Prabhupada, at the most important aspect of the holy place is the holy persons who are living there. If you want to take benefit of the holy place, then you have to go there and take their association. It is through such holy sadhus that we can see. Although Krishna is in Vrindavan, we go, we can't see. Atashi Krishna Namani, Navaved Grahimindu, Sevan Mukhijiva, no swine deva. But no one can understand the transcendental name, fame, form, paraphernalia, the Supreme Lord, with his materially contaminated senses. Only when the senses are purified through the process of devotional service can one see Krishna as he is. People depend so much upon these senses, they want to see God with these senses. These senses are so limited, you can't even see most of what is material. What to speak of seeing what is spiritual. You can't even perceive the material if you want to see the spiritual. Material means what? Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, what is material? Earth, air, fire, water, mind, intelligence, and false ego. That's what constitutes the... That's what constitutes the material creation. As the spiritual creation is made of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, we describe that as one of the elements of the of Dham, eternity. So what are the elements of the material world? Earth, air, fire, water, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Now what can you see out of that? You can see earth, you can see fire, and you can see water. That's it. You can't see the air, you can't see the mind, you can't see the intelligence, and you can't see the false ego. So out of the seven ingredients of material creation, you can only see three. So how limited is our perception? We can only see three of the material elements. There's seven, we can only see three. Yet we want to see the spiritual elements, eternity, transcendental knowledge, and transcendental bliss. Vigraha, that is what constitutes the Lord's form. Satchitananda Vigraha, eternity, knowledge, and bliss in Vigraha, the form. That's what Krishna's body, your body is made of earth, air, fire, water, mind, intelligence, ego. Krishna's body is, ultimately your body, your spiritual body, is eternity, knowledge, and but you can't perceive that which is transcendental with that which is material. You have to develop the spiritual senses. When you awaken the spiritual senses, then you can perceive. Prabhupada said, you keep worshipping this deity with love and devotion, one day this deity will speak to you. But why? Because you've awoken your transcendental sense. You've awoken your love of God and your transcendental senses, and then with that you can perceive. So our appreciation of the Dham at this point, these holy places, can only come through the association of sadhus. They're the transformer. It's like you get a transformer and it transforms, 240 energy down to 110. If you plug the 110 into the 240, but the 240, the powerful 240 like we have in Europe, then that through a transformer adapter, that energy is taken down to one who can handle it. So in the same way, the sadhus or the pure devotees, they're the transformers. Prabhupada describes them as the transparent mediums. They make it possible for us to understand the Lord's name, fame, form, paraphernalia with our material contaminated senses. In the sense that we can understand, we can begin to perceive what is Krishna through the preaching or through the speaking, words of a sadhu. So this is Guru Parampara. And if one becomes a humble servant of such a devotee, we can see through their vision and understand everything. But if one tries to understand on his own, and one is puffed up, I'll go and I'll understand. That is not the process. Prabhupada said, one who has a bona fide spiritual master to be understood, he knows everything. Whatever needs to be known, then Krishna will reveal that to you. To the spiritual. So a devotee actually knows everything. He knows the essence of everything, which is ultimately Krishna. So that is the process to understand. Actually, it's described in Bengal as a proverb, the sign of knowledge that one becomes humble. So our process is to become the humble servant, and through the Guru Parampara, we see. Just like if you take a telescope. Now, you look to the big end of the telescope, what do you see? Everything's very small, you can't hardly. Can't understand. When I was a kid, I had a telescope. And I looked at the big one. It looked a little miniature world. But then you look to the small end, the very tiny end of the telescope, and that which is very, very far away, it comes within your grasp. You can almost touch it. Look at the moon. The moon's so far away, you look through a telescope, just like you can almost touch it. So Guru Parampara is like that. We don't look to the big end. I'm a fine God, I'm a great, that's like looking through the big end. You're very narrow-minded, very narrow vision you get. But if you, by the mercy, if you become humble, small, you look through the cyclic succession, it's like looking through that telescope. Because what is a telescope after all, anyway? A telescope is just a different lens. Not the telescope that my father understood. He said, look what you've done, bro. So then you look inside, it's just a series of lenses like this, each very powerful, magnifying the original object. So that's Guru Parampara. We serve our spiritual master, and by his mercy we receive the mercy of his spiritual master. We receive the mercy of his spiritual master. That is what Guru Parampara doesn't mean we're only getting the mercy of one individual. Guru Parampara means that through the present day representative, Prabhupada said we must take shelter of the present day representative. Through the present day representative, we're getting the mercy of the whole disciplic succession. It's all magnified. It comes down like that. And through them, that magnified vision, that pure vision of all those transcendental personalities, Krishna becomes very close. Therefore, Rishi Upanishad states that the Supreme Lord is very near and he's very far away as well. He's very far away for those who attempt to understand him on their own, but he's very near for those who take shelter of the sadhus, the pure devotees of the Lord. Therefore, to go to the holy place, and Prabhupada said it's not enough simply to go to the temples and, you know, take bath in the river and do those different things. Rather, one should try to go and hear from the same person. That is our process of seeing through hearing. One time Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was giving a lecture. And during the lecture, the Arti conch sounded. So two of his disciples, they got up and they left. They went to the Arti. And they came back. And then, you know, I don't know how they had the audacity to do this, but they came back and sat down again in the front. And then Bhakti Siddhanta said, "Have you gone?" "Oh, Guru Maharaj, we've gone to see Radha Krishna." And Rabbi said, "You've only seen stone. If you want to see the Supreme Lord, you have to sit here and hear from me. Then you will understand what is Radha Krishna. If you just try to go and see without knowledge, without the mercy of your spiritual master, what is that mercy? His subdhi brahma. Transcendental sound, the repetition of Bhagavad Gita Shrimad. It is that way in which we can actually perceive. Therefore, it is the sadhus, Prabhupada said, who are the real essence of the Dhamma. In their presence, we can understand the holy place. And also such sadhus, they, by their presence, they make, they purify even the holy place, that Prabhupada said. A holy place is holy, but it's even more holy, or it's most holy. It's supremely holy because of the presence of the sadhus who live there. Because materialistic people, they come generally to the holy place to do what? To leave their sins. And therefore, Prabhupada said, their sinful reactions, they build up there. And the holy place becomes overburdened with all these sinful reactions. And it doesn't appear to be so holy. But the sadhus who live there, by their presence, they neutralize the effects. How powerful are the sadhus? They're the real essence of the holy. Just by their living there, their purity, their devotion to Krishna, they neutralize whatever reactions, the stockpile of sinful reactions that's come about because of so many materialistic people come, not necessarily materialistic, but people who come to take benefit of that place, neutralized by the same person. Unfortunately, as Srila Prabhupada mentions at the very end of his purport, in Kali Yuga, unscrupulous men take advantage of such holy places in the guise of sadhu. Therefore, there's one song by Nanakam Das Thakur. He said, "Don't even bother going to the holy places." He said, "In Kali Yuga," he said, "don't even bother. Just chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram." Take advantage of the association of devotees. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also states, Samsara Sarvatashana Murjitana Kalaluke Asadnam Bhagavan Nama Srimad Vaishnava Seva. In his 100 verses glorifying Lord Chaitanya, he said that in the age of Kali, those who have fallen faint, being bitten by the fangs of samsara, shall get relief by the medicinal herb of chanting the holy names of the Lord and menial servants to the lowest state of Vaishnavas. Samsara Shakratashtanam, Vajitanam, Kalaviye, Ashadham, Bhagavanam, Srimad Vaishnava Sevanam. These two things. Just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, and associate with the devotee. Not that he's saying the holy places are unimportant, but the point is that there's no sadhus there, or few sadhus. Not that there's no sadhus, of course, the sadhu. But the real essence is the sadhu, and because there's asadhus, like, you know, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, asad sangha tiyaga. You have sadhu and you have asad sangha. You have that which is not, that association you don't want. So That is there. These so-called sadhus, they go and they just make a living in the holy ground. They go there and they beg. Even Prabhupada one time described that some unscrupulous women, they desire, let me conceive a child, a son by a sadhu. And then by doing that, everything will be off. The other individual existence, the sadhu was the son. So such unscrupulous women, they go to the holy dham and they entice the sadhu to fall down. This business is going on. Then Prabhupada said, there's some unscrupulous men. They have the mentality of these unscrupulous women. So what they do is they put on the guise of the sadhu. They go there and they wait for the unscrupulous woman. She comes, sadhu, sadhu.
Yes.
Please, do you talk to you in private?
I'm sadhu.
No, no, just one word.
All right, one word. I'll give you my blessing. What is it?
It's going. So that's Pakistan Saraswati. It's society of cheaters. And unfortunately, it even is going on in the town. At least previously, you know, the nonsense would go on in the city. The town was reserved for the sangri person. They could go there, they know, they could take shelter, and they would not be disturbed by materialistic people. But Kali Yuga is such a horrible age. Kaler doshadi de rajan asti ekamadana kirtanadi vrishnasya mukhisam. Described as an ocean of faults. And, of course, the town can never be contaminated. This is all in the peripheral. It's a thin film covering the Dharma itself is never affected. But these material pastimes are taking place like on that thin film there. The Dharma can never be, not the Krishna's name, fame, form can never be contaminated. But it appears like that. It appears like that. Just like the light of a candle, you know, the darkest place is actually that place closest to the. Sometimes you wonder, why all these things going on in the Dham? And the Dham is like the transcendental abode here, you know, unfortunate things like that. So it's been described just like the candle. The candle's light, you look right close to the candle, it's dark there, the light spreads out like that. So to our conditioned vision at this time, that is the situation. That area closest to the Dham, it appears to be covered, but actually it's never covered. These activities cannot enter into the Dham. There's a thin film covering. Is going on. So then Prabhupada also described another incident. He said, like, he knew a grain merchant. He was selling grain. And he, you know, he'd sell his grain in the morning, and in the afternoon, he was a householder. In the afternoon, he put on saffron. He'd go to this baking bowl and put some butter or something, just so people wouldn't recognize. He'd go and he'd beg like this. Although he was a grain merchant, he wasn't solid. He was a businessman. And Prabhupada said he made more money begging than he made in his grain shop. So this kind of activity was going on in the Dham. So this false representation has spoiled the whole thing. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur said, better you don't go. Of course, Srila Prabhupada is so merciful that he went, after establishing his preaching in the West, he said, I have gone to the Western countries and I have satisfied the desire of my Guru Maharaj. He said, now I have my own desire, is to go back to bring out the real glory of Vrindavan and Mayapur. Actually, you see, Prabhupada spent so many years in the West, but he spent many years in India. I remember even 1972, Srila Prabhupada was already back in India. He was calling for devotees to come. We received a letter from Detroit Temple. Please send as many devotees as possible. So we sent. Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So, but aside from that, even if one can't go regularly, still one can make so much progress in devotional service. Why? Because the Lord's arrangement is that the holy places come to us. And that is the sum and substance of the verse today. That in the form of real saints who carry Vrindavan in their hearts, Vrindavan can go all over the world. Although Vrindavan is an actual place, it's not limited to the 90 square miles of which it is situated near Delhi. That is Vrindavan. But Vrindavan is not limited by time and space. It's not restricted. Vrindavan is a mood also. What constitutes the spiritual world? The dimensions? How could it be the dimensions? It's unlimited. So what constitutes the spiritual world? The unalloyed devotional service of inhabitants. Savaipum shampara karmo yatta bhakti adotsade. Ahaitukriya patiyata yayat ma supasidati. That is pure devotional service. Unmotivated, uninterrupted service of the Supreme Lord. That is the actual essence of the spiritual sky. You can't say spiritual sky means it's located here, it's this dimension. No, the actual essence of the spiritual sky, what makes it is that unalloyed, pure devotion to the Supreme Lord. Not restricted. Therefore, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was trying to go to Vrindavan. He'd taken sannyas, and he was trying to go to Vrindavan. But as we know, Advaitacharya and Bengali devotees, they tricked him. They made him think that the Ganga was the Jamuna. Later on, he found out. He said, but I wanted to go to Vrindavan. Why have you kept me from going to Vrindavan? And Advaitacharya said, my lord, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. So wherever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, where is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? What is Krishna saying in Bhagavad Gita? Wherever my devotees are chanting my glories, I am there. I'm present where they're chanting my glories. So wherever serving the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shedvaita Gadadhara, Shivasani, Govardhana, that Vrindavan atmosphere is created, just like these temples. Prabhu one time described that these temples are actually embassies to the spiritual world. He said, our real home, that is Vrindavan in Mayapur. He said, Bombay is my office, Vrindavan is my home, my place of worship, and Mayapur is my home. So our home, we don't think, my home is London, my home is England, my home is San Francisco. I'm going to go back home. I haven't been home in a long time. I haven't been home in about 50 billion lifetimes. We don't think, I want to go home. We don't identify with the body. We are Krishna's eternal servants, so what is dear to Krishna is dear to us. So what is our home? Our home is like heaven. Our home, we're the same. Our office is Bombay. our home is Mayapur, our place of worship. That is how we're reawakening that original Krishna consciousness. That's how we identify. We think of that when we go to India, we're going home. And everything else outside of that is very far away. When Prabhupada went to Gainesville in the 1970s, he said, here we are. See Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's so merciful, he's come so far away from home, he's come here to this insignificant town. Now there's some guests there thinking, so far from home, we need to home. This insignificant Gainesville, I mean, we got this. That is the vision of the devotee, the Mayapur. So everything else is like an outpost, like an embassy. But just like an embassy, actually technically speaking, an embassy, it's not different than the country, because the laws of the local country don't apply within the embassy. If you go down to the French embassy in London, or the American embassy, or the Polish embassy, it's Polish law inside. It's American law inside. It's French law. It's not English law. That's why sometimes criminals, they take shelters in the embassies and the government can't catch them. When I was a kid, we used to watch Hunchback of Notre Dame. Now the principle was in the old days in the church that this was in France, that the church was quite powerful at that time, at the church. So if somebody committed a crime, he could actually go in a church, and the police and the government couldn't touch him. So the Hunchback of Notre Dame was such a little rascal, but it's poor lead on people, nothing else is going on. He lived there, no one could ever get him, because he was protected in the church. But in the same way, as the laws of the land do not apply inside the consulate or the embassy, so the laws of material nature depending on the degree of devotional service being performed by the devotees inside the temple, does not have effect. It doesn't have effect. Just like that house, the assembly house that Vishwakarma built in Dwarka, he was asked by Krishna to construct an assembly house. So Vishwakarma constructed an assembly house, and what was the nature of that assembly house? That the effects of birth, disease, old age, and death didn't apply there. So if you stayed in there long enough, you wouldn't grow old. You wouldn't get diseased, and you wouldn't die. Special arrangement. So similarly, in the temple, the one who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down under any circumstance. He transcends the modes of material nature and comes to the level of the Brahman. So that's it's not that if you go here, you go there necessarily. No. One who engages in full devotional service, who doesn't fall down, who's steady, Nishtha, doesn't fall down, he transcends the modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahman. Brahman means the spiritual world. So that Vrindavan atmosphere can be created where there's that mentality of Atmani Medina, or full surrender to the Lord. That is Vrindavan. So wherever that mood, devotional service is present, that constitutes the spiritual world. Therefore, the essence of this, that Prabhupada is stressing in this verse, that devotees like Vidura are holy places personified because they carry that mood where they go. They carry that mood. Such devotees are the supreme personality of servitor God. And Śrīla Prabhupāda says that such devotees, for such unalloyed devotees of the Lord is always ready to invest his full potencies in such devotees. So therefore, wherever they go, they create that transcendent environment. So what is the full potencies of the Lord's opulences, strength, knowledge, wealth, fame, renunciation. The Lord is ready to invest all those transcendental potencies. And such a devotee, he acts like a magnet. Because there's always competition between the Lord and his pure devotee. The Lord is all attractive to the devotee, and the devotee is all attractive to the Lord. Just like two lovers that supremely attracted to each other. So one who has that pure devotion for Krishna, Krishna's always present with that devotee. Krishna's eye in them and they are one. So such devotees are very powerful. Sometimes they're even more powerful than Krishna. Sometimes Shiva is called Bhagavan. Sometimes Narada is called Bhagavan. Of course, brings the holy places to us in the form of such devotees. And through their association, we get the same benefits, actually, of being in the Dham, perhaps even more. Because when you go to the Dham, you go to take bath there in the river. And what happens when you take bath in the Ganges? You become free from more sins than you can create, that you've made in billions of lives. Just bathing once there. So someone says, well, I bathed once, but look how still this is. Yes, but you've been in this material world since time immemorial. So take a lot of baths. The Prabhupada said, when one goes to the holy Dham, one should take as many baths as possible in the Ganges. That's recommended. We can go because we have a Krishna Balaram right there. Our mind, for example. So we should go as often as possible. And then when we're there, we should bathe in those holy rivers as much as possible. Just, you know, there you can stand hours in the water. And as long as you stay, you're going to be free from so much sin. Just floating away like that. There's so many lifetimes it takes. You've got to stay in there a long time. But even if you stay so long like that, still, the association of devotees is considered even more valuable. Even more valuable. Why? Because when we hear or when we see the Hare Krishna mantra from the lips of a devotee, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, that Maha mantra, which must be received from the lips of a devotee, that Maha mantra serves not only to purify the sinful reactions, but to awaken them. You can bathe in the Ganges, you know, for many lifetimes. But the advancement is less than associating with devotees. At best, you can get freed from sinful reactions, but you cannot awaken love of God. You can awaken love of God in the association of devotees. Therefore, out of the five items stressed by Rupa Goswami, the most important is association. And like we mentioned in the lecture yesterday, the marriage lecture, that 75% of our advancement is simply through association with devotees. devotees. Prabhupada said the actual intrinsic nature of devotional service is that it's imbibed
by another devotee.
You just get it
from a devotee.
You just have mercy. You just get it
by associating.
Be in their presence. Serve the devotee. So out of the five items, even more important than the holy places. Of course, today's verse is about the holy places. But even more than about the holy places, today's verse is about association with devotees who live in the holy places. Therefore, association is supremely important. And actually, all the other five items of devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, and living in a holy place, they all depend upon association with devotees. Because chanting Hare Krishna, you have to receive the mantra through Guru Parampara, through the disciplic succession. Anyone can benefit from chanting, but if you want to perfect the chanting, Sudhanam, you want to get pure chanting of the Holy Name, which will awaken Prema Bhakti, to get that through disciplic succession. The mantra you receive is not through disciplic succession. It doesn't have the proper effect. So even chanting is Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kulua, Nashteva, Nashteva, Nashteva. It's the only way. But the science is that you have to receive it from a Vaishnava. And then you can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, who are you going to hear from? A Vaishnava? That's like, you know, touching milk, or drinking milk touched by the lips of a serpent. It looks like milk, but it has a poisonous effect. So if we're going to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to hear from the devotee. He illuminates the Srimad Bhagavatam. By hearing from the devotee, we can enter into the mysteries of everything is revealed through hearing from the devotee. So that item of devotional service also requires association with the devotees. Worshipping the deity, we worship the deity in the direction of the spiritual master. Shri Vigraha Vaidhani, Sringaratana. The spiritual master engages us. What is our qualification for approaching Krishna? We have no qualification. But the mercy of his devotee, we can approach him. And the Prabhupada knows how Krishna likes to be dressed, what food Krishna likes. He told that story one time. Prabhupada made some lagoons. He gave them to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He said, when you get back to the spiritual sky, this is the recipe. This is Mother Yasoda's recipe. When you go in the spiritual sky, your gopis will put them in your pocket. Where in the scriptures will you find Mother Yasoda's recipe for lagos? Where you will find it? How do we have that information? Because, you know, Prabhupada is an associate of the Lord in the spiritual world. He knows the recipe. So to approach Krishna, we need the mercy of the devotee. Krishna is there at the deity. So even you're worshipping the deity, we need the association of the devotees. Actually, Prabhupada said the best worship of Gaura-Nitai, even more important than the pearls and the ornaments, is the best worship of Gaura-Nitai is kirtan. That's like that the most. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And number five, which we've been discussing today, holy place. To go to the holy place means to go and associate with and serve the devotees of living there. Samsara sarpadashtanam, vachitanam, kolorogate. Sadhang Bhagavan, Srimad Vaishnava Sedana. That those who have been bitten, who have fallen faint, having been bitten by the fangs of the serpents of samsara, shall get relief from the medicinal herb of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and menial service to the lotus feet of the Vaishnava. Natarashima Bhagavatam Ki, Chirapapa Ki, Gaur Pendanamani. So, we went over time. No question. Okay. If there's any question? Otherwise, I have an announcement.
You were
air. Earth, air, fire. perfect and most perfect. It was perfect to go to these places when the transcendental potency may be even more as one goes to more elevated, the more confidential places. But as far as we're concerned, to go to any of those places, you know, we need as much mercy as we can get. So if we go to the Lord, we don't just go to Radha Kund, we go to all the places. But that's the subject matter of Brihad Bhagavatam Nita, how Gopal went through different stages and different places in devotional service. And ultimately he aspired for the Loka Vrindavan. That's the whole subject matter. Question? Yes? Those type of pastimes are special mercy. Some of them are manifest, some are unmanifest. So by the grace of the Lord, when his manifest pastimes come, even conditioned souls can see him. Well, look at Kamsa. He saw Krishna. What was his qualification? But of course, he didn't see Krishna as Krishna. He saw Krishna as death personified. And actually when Krishna came into the wrestling arena, different people saw him because his pastimes were manifest. Now they're unmanifest. But because they were manifest, everyone got to see him, but according to their purity, they realized it better. The young girl saw him as lust personified, Kamsa saw him as death personified, Yogi saw him as the super soul, the coward boy saw him as, you know, the most loved. Like that, according to one's advancement of purity, one would perceive the supreme one. And some people just saw Krishna as an ordinary man. We'll finish there. I just want to make one announcement that on Wednesday, coming Wednesday, we're going to have a super Harinam in Frankfurt. It's going to be one of the biggest.